I'll start from the beginning. I was born in Malaysia. I'm a Chinese, born in Malaysia. My parents are Chinese. My grandparents came from China. And maybe I had it from my dad. My dad is a very good dancer. And among the siblings, I'm the only one who's actually interested in dancing. So from young, we attend what they call a convent school. This convent school is run by Irish nuns and French nuns. It's a French order, it's a Catholic school. And because of that, we have all this French influence, Irish influence, and some of them might be even Scottish influence. So my first actual learning how to dance was in school when I was already Form 3, which means when I was 13 years old. We did a country dance, and I can't remember for whatever occasion, and I really loved it. And I know that I have a very good sense of rhythm, and I can remember steps very well. It just comes naturally to me. Then the next time I had sort of a big performance was when I transferred to another school, which is also the convent, called the main convent. And there we had a display, a dance display for the Reverend Mother's feast day. At that time, the principal is called the Reverend Mother. And we always honor the feast day. That means according to the name. If it's Reverend Mother Martha, for example, St. Martha's feast is a feast day. So we have some performance or whatever. And that one was taught by a Chinese teacher. And there we learned things like the valita. I can't even remember some of the dances, but we have to be very precise. We have to lift up our legs, point our toes, and very precise with that. The first performance was in 1956. That was the folk dance, and was performed in an oval. Here you call it an oval. It was a big field, and there were many, many groups of us. Then the other one, at the main convent, where we had to display for the Reverend Mother, that was in 1958. That was my final year in the school, Form 5. We followed the British way, the British system in the education there, Form 1 to Form 5. That's the final year there. Then when I finished Form 5, I was fortunate to get a scholarship to go to England to train as a teacher, 1960-61. From young, I have always been interested in teaching. To me, teaching is the best job. I can't imagine myself be a clerk and sit there and then just facing a machine. So I've always wanted teaching. So when I finished Form 5, there is this scholarship going on in Malaysia. So I applied for it. And very luckily, I got it. That's how I was sent to England to do my teacher training. At that time, we had our independence, but we didn't have enough colleges to train teachers. So the Malaysian government got this great idea of leasing the 10-year plan, a college in England for 10 years, that's called Kirkby College, and send every year 150 students there to be trained as teachers. And it's a scholarship. We don't have to pay for anything. In fact, we get, at that time, £10 per month pocket money. That's how I got into teaching. So I went to Kirkby 2 years, and that's where I met my husband too. He's a great dancer. Maybe I fell in love with him because we're dancing and nothing else. But anyway, there we have two Scottish lecturers, a Mr. Struthers and a Miss McBain. Miss McBain is the physical fitness teacher, and they started teaching us Scottish dancing every Wednesday night. And of course, I'm always there. Miss McBain taught us what is setting, what setting is, and all that. So I know what, when you say setting, I know what it is. So that was the, I think, formally, I would say that when I was in school and was in college, that I learned these steps, and I know them. We learned the gay gardens, we learned the barn dance, and all sorts, right? That is where I do my folk dancing. In fact, a friend and I, we even went for tap dancing, but it didn't last. But it didn't last. We didn't even have two lessons, and no, it's too expensive. We were just students, and we just have £10 pocket money per month, and that is it. That's it. And we'd rather save the money to go on holiday. But we are not formal. We do not have like costumes and things like that. It's just a very informal way of learning the Scottish dancing. Yeah. And I remember when I went to Scotland, we went to Gretna Green. There's a place where couples supposed to elope and get married, even when they do not reach the age for marriage. And there's a big rock there. And we all stood up and we started to do the Highland Fling there. It was fun. Yeah, it was really fun. So that was as a student, I've been learning all this. 2 years of training there, and of course we come back, we are bonded to the government, so we have to bonded for 5 years, but that is no problem to me. So I came back and I just went on teaching. It was very interesting. I taught a lot of subjects, maths, English, whatever, and then this friend of mine, or this colleague, she's in charge of the physical education part of it, and she asked me to teach physical education. And instead of teaching physical education, like throwing the ball and kicking this, I started teaching the students dancing.
Wow.
Yeah, the folk dancing. And in that convent there, partly because fortunately they have all the records, they have the instructions, and I just read the instructions to teach them. Because I don't know any of these dances at all. That's what I used to do, and they enjoyed it. I became the teacher. So I just taught myself.
What's the instruction? Something you can see visually? Like, is that clear?
It's just on paper. You see, they used to have it in, you know, those record discs, the music, and they have the record sleeve. The instruction is on the sleeve. Nothing visual. I don't even see the dancing. It's just on paper, and I have to read left foot this and left foot or right foot and I have to read all that, and then the skip and then the poker. Maybe in I think it's in England that I know what a poker that. Oh, because when I was in school, I know what a poker step is. I know what the skip step is. I know what a gallop is and all that. So maybe from when I was in school, I know the steps. So when I read it out, when I read it from the instruction, I was able to pick it up and I was able to do it. Yeah.
So obviously it's different from now. Young people can see on YouTube or TV.
Yes.
Did you see at all on TV Scottish dance or any type of dancing? You know?
Not when I was in Malaysia. But now, sometimes, all the dancing, I do go to YouTube and I do have a look at it, yes. Because now, it's, as you say, YouTube is, you just click on or you just put down the name of whatever dance and you get it. And then in 1978, that's right, at the swimming club, we met this couple. They have their, what they call, St. Andrew's Feast in this posh club. And somehow they heard about me teaching dancing in school. So they asked whether I can teach a group of them a Scottish dance. Now, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name. So my husband's also a good dancer, we started teaching them this Scottish dance and performed. We performed in the club on the St. Andrew's Day feast. I have photos of it anyway. All right? Yeah. I think when I first saw it, it was normally the men who were dancing. And of course, they're kilt. And then their legs, how they were so precise in their setting and in their, I don't even know what they call it now. Yeah, that was what caught me on. And I just love the music, that's it. The bagpipes, because they dance to it. I think that was what caught me into learning this Scottish dancing.
Is that very unique from your background and what you used to hear? On the radio or whatever.
Yes.
That sound must be unique.
Yeah, the bagpipes, not only the sound is unique, when they blow it, you can... But actually, come to think of it, in Malaysia, we are quite exposed to this because we have what you call... Because we were a colony of Britain, when we used to have parades in the Oval. Mm. And then all these Scottish dressed up soldiers or whatever, they'd be marching in the Oval and playing bagpipes. So it's not that strange to me in that sense, because as I said, I come from quite a very British background in that, because I started going to the convent school at 7 years old. I've never been to a Chinese school. So I'm what I call myself an illiterate Chinese. I can speak Chinese, but I can't read Chinese. So in a sense, I can even say that English could be my first language, because now at home, I speak English. I only speak Chinese to my grandparents, to my mum, because my mum is from a Chinese school, but my dad, English. So I think I dream in English even. Yeah. I don't think I dream in Chinese. I mean, if you think of dreaming, that is your subconscious, right? So when I think in English. So in that way, I'm very much influenced by this Irish and this Scottish and so on. So when I heard there's a Scottish dance here, I went for it. That's how I joined the Scottish dance here.
Did you want to wear the scarf?
I have got two of those skirts that I bought, I mean secondhand. One from Jean, who is one of the instructors. And the other one, yeah, I think somebody brought it along and I didn't even buy it. I just took it free because somebody didn't want it and then it fitted me. It's not easy to fit me because I'm small, right? It fitted me, so now I've got two. Wow. Two of those skirts. And now and again, I do wear them when I go for this Scottish dancing.
Nice.
Yes. And then much later, I think it was in 1985, my husband used to go to this seniors club to play mahjong. And then I don't know how he got this fine idea of teaching them dancing. So the two of us got together and then we taught them dancing, folk dancing, every Wednesday night until we emigrated here to Australia. And we teach them folk dancing from all over the world. Again, we just read the instructions and my husband and I will practice at home, make sure that our steps go in time with the music, and then we go over there and we taught them. And these are all the dances that I have taught. If you want me to read it out, I can. Okay. Barn dance, Valita, Gay Gardens, Sisken, which is Denmark, Chestnut Tree, which is England, La Raspa, which is Mexico, Glowworm, American, Clap Dance is Sweden, Blenkin is Sweden, Kinderpoker, Germany, Horror is Israel, 10 Pretty Girls, America, Klampakojis or something like that, maybe I don't get it right, it's called Wooden Shoes anyway, it's Lithuania. Norio Miego is Lithuania, and of course there's one that's from the Philippines, the Tinikling.
Are there steps or style
steps. Dance? There are steps. You have to follow the steps, and it's a partner dancing. So you have the man and the lady, and of course if there are not enough men, the ladies will have to take the men's part. And then my husband and I, we will demonstrate a few steps, and then they will have to repeat. Of course, it'll take a couple of weeks for them to know the dance. And then we will repeat it, and it was great fun. And these are the senior citizens. They really enjoyed it. And you know what? When we have to leave for Australia, you know what present they gave us? A mahjong set. my husband loved to play mahjong. At that time, I didn't play that much, but now I've got the free time, I play mahjong as well. So that's how we got into teaching folk dancing. I think it's just in my system, dancing. Now, how I got into dancing now? When we came over, of course, we were very busy teaching, in schools. Then I thought, we have missed dance, we haven't been dancing. So I went onto the website and I found this Gary Roberts, who teaches New Vogue. It's not folk dancing, it's ballroom. So I went, my husband and I, we were dancing. Then, very sadly, my husband passed away 5 years now, right? In 2010, he passed away. And for a whole year, of course, I didn't do anything. Then I thought, no, I think I have to do something with my life. I'm not going to just stay home and not do anything, because I retired by then. So I went to the website and then I got into this square dancing. So I went for square dancing. And there, there's this man, Louis, I think. I just asked him, I said, oh, what other dance do you do? I said, oh, I do Irish dancing. I said, oh, where's Irish dancing? In the city. When? Wednesday night. Oh, I said, Wednesday night, I'm free. So next Wednesday, I was there. I went to Irish dancing. So I did Irish dancing. Then at Irish dancing, there's another lady, Helen, who came to do Irish dancing. Got to know her. And then she told me about Scottish dancing. I said, oh, there's Scottish dancing where? She says, Wednesday morning. Oh, morning is fine. Tell me when. Okay, I'll be there. So I joined Scottish dancing.
Wow.
And then Scottish dancing, I think somebody told me about this Friday dance. Friday dance is dance for health. It's on a Friday. It is a mixture of folk dancing and couple dancing and so on. So I joined Friday dancing. And you know now, I dance 5 times a week. I also do ballroom now. Wow. On a Sunday and a Thursday.
Yeah. That's the reason why you're so fit.
Partly. And besides that, I go for fitness classes, I tell you.
Wow.
Yeah. I have always been very active from young. Even in school, I used to take up sports, I do athletics, you name it, I've done it. Yeah. Netball, my favorite. And yeah. So I live a very active life, actually. And my children, in a sense, I don't want my children to worry about me since my husband has passed away, right? So they are very, very happy that I'm doing all this, all right? And my eldest daughter's friends sometimes used to ask her, how's your mom? Oh, my mom is fine. She's dancing on this day, she's dancing on that day. 1956. I was taught country dancing to perform in the Oval. 1958, I had this performance again for the Reverend Mother's Feast, right? Then 1960-61, I was in college, and that's where I learned, right? Then I came back to teach as just an ordinary teacher in school. Then it was only in, I can't even remember when did I teach the students? Yeah, about 76 to 77, 77, 76, 1976, 77, that I taught the students to dance. So it was quite late that I taught the students to dance, yeah.
In those times in Malaysia, did you need any qualifications to teach country dancing?
Nah, you don't need any qualification at all. I mean, it wasn't something that is formal. At that time, I didn't even bother to find out whether there were any Scottish dancing classes or groups or anything like that, because busy with teaching, busy with a growing up, growing family, we don't have time to look into things like that.
Yeah.
See, it's just teaching.
And it was very social thing rather than formal competition or
anything. Yeah, no competition. I've never heard of any competition, never heard of anything. No, I don't think so. Yeah. For this friend to have to come to approach us to teach them dancing, most probably I don't think they have. They have ballroom dancing, I know. They have ballroom dancing classes. But I doubt they have this folk dancing. But now, in Kuala Lumpur, they have Scottish dancing class run by Charlie Chong. And this is at the YMCA. YMCA is Young Men's Christian Association in this place called Brickfields Road in Kuala Lumpur. And I think he teaches every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and you pay 25 ringgit for per session. This one, who is it? What's her name? Jan. Jan in this Scottish class, she was the one who told me about this. When she heard I was going to visit Malaysia, she said, oh, you have to try and get into Charlie Chong's class. But no, I can't, because you know, when you go overseas for a visit, there are too many things you don't go. That's where I learned from her.
Yeah, in Australia, you have to be accredited to be a Scottish country dancer. Is Charlie Chong accredited? No?
I don't know whether he's not here. Jan says that over there, they are very serious. Because she and husband, when they join, when we Australians join, usually we are mucking around. But for them, oh no, the steps all have to be very precise and they are very much into technique. So I think he might be accredited Scottish dancer. He might be, I don't know. Yeah. It seems, according to Jen, he's been teaching for years. Yeah. And Jen says, oh, here we do Scottish dancing, we're doing it for fun. But then, no, they're very serious.
Yeah. All the technique.
Yes.
Do you enjoy that technique part?
Well, if it's demanded of us to do really precise and technique, I think I wouldn't mind picking it up. But as I say, over here, it doesn't matter. Some of them, they don't even bother to skip properly, or they don't even bother to set properly. As long as we just get the formation right and then we just enjoy ourselves, it's fine. But where Jean is concerned, you better not talk when you're on the floor. No talking. Listen. when she sees this and hears this, she'll know what. No talking. Mary, the other instructor, she's not so strict, but Jean is very strict.
That's right.
I think it's the age factor with the precision.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Some of this, they just can't, you can't, yeah. Because here, for the Wednesday group, all of us are retirees. It's during the day. We don't have any young people. I'm the only Asian. A lot of these dances that I go to, actually, I'm the only one with the black hair. I always say I'm the only one with the black hair.
One thing I'm sure of is you are all young.
Thank you. You're
much younger than you think.
Young at heart. But sometimes the limbs will show. No,
shake it, you won't break it.
In total, how long did you teach country dancing?
In total, oh. In school, could be right, roughly just about 2 years. With the senior citizens, would be maybe roughly about like 5 years. And that's it, I think. Not that many years. Because it's just for fun. It's but just once a week. And that's it.
Mm. And what year did you come to Australia?
Pardon, sorry?
What year did you come to Australia?
Oh, I came in December 89. 1989. 25 years now. Oh, my silver anniversary. All right. 1989. 11th of December 1989. I can never forget the date. We stepped onto Australian soil. Yeah.
And you never got to country dancing until 2011, is that right?
Yeah. Country dancing 2011. Before that, I was doing more ballroom. Yeah, with my husband. Yeah.